This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, this is the Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. New Home Fight has been around since 1977. Then it started off as a trading company for auto parts for companies such as Nissan, Honda and Mercedes-Benz. The group later moved up the value chain into manufacturing. Today, it is a major distributor spanning over 1,000 wholesalers and retailers throughout Malaysia and exporting to some 50 countries. To find out if the group can move further up the value chain and adapt to changing trends, in the studio I have Chinjit Sen, the Managing Director of New Home Fight Group. Welcome, Chin.
Thank you.
So, Chin, can you adapt to the changing trends?
Well, we have to. As a business entity, we have to continually adapt ourselves to whatever trends, face the threats, you know, that's coming to us in the industry.
All right. And now your top line has been consistent over the last 5 years,
yes,
somewhere between 200 and 250 million ringgit a year.
Yeah.
But I can't say the same thing for the net income. In 2016, you booked 30 million in profit, which fell to 19 million the year after. And last year, it was 12 million ringgit. What's happening there?
Okay. Well, but it's been consistent, as you have said. We have been growing growing in terms of our revenue from 200 million, and then we reached a record of 257 million in 2018. And but however, as you mentioned, the profit wise had not been that consistent. Well, we do face a lot of pressure in terms of the prices of increasing price of the commodities like steel, plastic, resins, that's related to the oil price and supply, and also to the rising costs, right? Rising costs of labor, you know, manpower.
And how have you been working to manage those challenges here?
Well, we put a lot of emphasis on working on how to achieve higher productivity. We go about managing the processes through our lean manufacturing efforts. We go about reducing all types of waste, and by being efficient and achieving a higher yield, we are getting there.
Okay, so with regard to commodity prices, as you've mentioned, they can be volatile.
Yes.
Do you have any hedging strategies when it comes to them?
Well, unfortunately, we do not have the opportunity to hedge, like, because some of the material like steel, they are very bulky, and then it takes a lot of space to store them. So we have to manage it. So by managing it, by being more efficient with it, we will manage the fluctuation in a better way.
So I guess it's fair to say that it's commodity prices and maybe even foreign exchange that affect your bottom line here?
Yes, especially being now, we are now more export-orientated. So definitely foreign exchange will be a factor. With more favorable foreign exchange for us, then of course we will have more income, and then that will help us to also leverage against the rising internal costs that we face.
And, you know, we're talking about hurdles to your business right now,
yeah,
and you do a lot of export and import.
Yeah.
Has the trade war between the US and China affected you?
Not directly, not at the moment, because currently our markets we are focused not just in Malaysia, we focus on ASEAN, and beyond that, Middle East, Africa, and even South America. But beside that, we don't have any direct trade with US, so it's not affected. Neither do we have a lot of trade with China.
Okay, and so what are your biggest markets when it comes to your replacement parts?
Okay, in terms of market, I would say out of the 50% that we export currently, right, we are focusing on ASEAN. ASEAN takes it up about 20% of our total export, our total revenue.
And what about Africa, the Middle East?
Yeah, there are many countries out there. So none of these countries contribute such a big amount as compared to ASEAN.
Right.
And so, looking forward, as you know, ASEAN has a very big potential. So we are actually focusing on ASEAN to grow.
And what are your, when it comes to revenue-wise, what is the best performing segment of your business right now?
Best for, we have a big variety. So we do not, I would say, they are all, I mean, you have to look at it as a package, not any particular item or not particular product. But we grow, we have 3,000 over items that produce in-house. So we produce, we sell it in a package to depending on what the market needs.
Right. And your business is selling to wholesalers and retailers.
Correct.
And specifically replacement parts, right?
Yes.
Now, why haven't you moved into the direct supply chain for automotive manufacturers?
Well, our company started manufacturing in the late 1980s. And at that time, we did supply some of the OEMs as a third tier, second tier vendor. However, in 1998, in the Asian financial crisis, the volume in Malaysia dropped 60%. And many of our customers' business also dropped that much. And at that point of time, we decided that we need to look more to grow. We need, at that time, we were listed, and to grow, we needed to grow, look at outside. So that's where actually it started, where we, our growth in export were. And that past 20 years have brought us to where we are today, where not more than 50% of our revenue is now derived from exports.
So 98 really changed the course for the company's outlook.
Yes, it did.
But is there an effort right now to go back into the supply chain?
No, not at this moment. As you know, we were talking about all the changes that's happening, right? So at this moment, we see more potential in the growth in the aftermarket, especially in ASEAN and in other parts of Asia. So that itself really gives us a lot of things to focus on. And by focusing on that, I think that will bring us to the next level, you know, for the next 10, 20 years.
Right. And we look at car sales. In Malaysia, we've seen TIV starting to flatten out. And this concerns many parties.
Yes.
Does this concern you as much, though?
Well, that is precisely the point why we say that we want to focus our Malaysia. Because when we focus our Malaysia, especially when we are part Malaysia, we are a company in ASEAN. ASEAN has so many, I mean, we have 10 times more the number of people that the whole of Malaysia has. Sorry, not 10 times, 20 times, 600 over million. And the TIV is growing. So either way you look at it, we see that there is a big potential there. Instead of just focusing on a limited amount of industry volume that is in Malaysia, we have look out, and then that is helpful for us.
And we're starting to see the middle income really break out in Vietnam and Indonesia and other ASEAN countries. I'm guessing that could really be a big boost for you.
Yes, definitely.
Company.
In coming years, we see a big potential in Vietnam and also Philippines. Well, Indonesia have come up last 5 years, but unfortunately, they have not grown as fast as before. But I think in future, definitely, that will be an important market as well.
So even if TIV, let's go back to Malaysia for a sec. Now, even if TIV starts to flatten out, that's still more cars being added on the road. And that is, as long as there are more cars being added on the road, that will be, that's where you really sell, right? Because you're not selling to
correct.
The OEM. You are catering to the after-sales market, really.
Yes, correct. There's more and more cars are on the road. They need parts. And then these are where we come in and cater to the demands of the market.
On The Grill today, I'm speaking to Chinjit Sen, the Managing Director of New Hong Fat Group. Up next, I'm going to ask Chin how they're planning to adapt to changing trends in the automotive sector, as well as the potential disruptions that could come from technology. This is The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm speaking to Chinjit Sen, the Managing Director of New Hong Fat Group. Earlier, we were talking about the challenges that the companies had to face in recent times, the growth potential that they see in ASEAN, and how the company went through 98. Now I'm going to focus on the challenges right in front of us, the disruption ahead. Right now, the automotive sector is the traditional part of the automotive sector is still very big, but electric vehicles are starting to become quite a hot topic. Where do you see New Hong Fat playing a role there?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, also as a business entity, we had to adapt, we had to change. Well, we see New Hong Fat as a supply chain, part of a supply chain. I mean, servicing the automotive industry. So we would just have to adapt to what to produce and what to supply for this changing needs of the market. Anyway, for the EV to, for the electric vehicle to take shape and to grow, there are so many other hurdles out there. And this is something that not we can do anything about, but we have to wait until the whole industry comes to that point.
Right, because the role NHF plays in the market right now is a very complementary role to the automotive sector at large.
Yes.
All right. You know, we're seeing technological changes and things like 3D printing have become more prominent in manufacturing. There are even manufacturers who are starting to adopt 3D printing. Mm. Do you have any plans for 3D printing in the near future?
Not for the parts that we have at the moment. Yes, you have 3D printing for many, many of the small parts, but the parts that we make, they don't have any of this technology at the you know, that is relevant or that is usable at this moment.
So 3D printing, not so much a concern at this point, but how about consumer trends that are changing? We're seeing public transport become a much bigger thing. E-hailing has really swept the market by storm. If more people start using e-hailing, we're going to see per capita cars start to decrease. Is that a worrying trend to you?
Not directly, in a sense that as more people switch to e-hailing, now that means our focus market will change. Instead of focusing on the individual as an owner, then we will have to focus on the market segment that has provide this e-hailing vehicles and so on. So that's how we're going to go about it.
Yeah. How do you see automotive changing in the next few years?
Well, there's a move towards all these new things, there will become a time. It's true. There is a possibility there's be less people wanting to own a car, but they will maybe just rent a car. You know. They're just not like current rental service, but there are so many things that is coming up nowadays. We have to evolve with it. So this is something that we keep on our eye on as the progress of the industry focus. But all in all, for us, we not only have to, we are not just only focusing on one country, but we have more than 50 countries where we are servicing. So we have so many areas that one certain area may not grow. Like, for example, we're definitely not going to go to Singapore. they are talking about, autonomous driving and all, but this is a small country. And then anyway, their industry volume is not that many. It's not something they want to do. But we would prefer to go to countries like Vietnam, Philippines, where there are more than 100 million people and then their volume is really growing. That is something that we, potentially that's where the market will be.
So even with the rise of e-hailing, you see an opportunity there.
Yes.
Maybe moving towards a more B2B servicing, really.
Yeah.
What are your biggest concerns right now, really, for the industry?
Well, over the past few years, our biggest concern has been talent. Has been, as we grow, as our company grow, we need talent. We need people to grow our markets. We need people to produce the things efficiently. As we invest into a lot of money into, buying more automated machines, robots, we need that kind of talent to not just to manage this, but to service the machines, to take care of it. There's a lot of, but unfortunately now we find that not many people would want to go for blue collar work as compared to strive to get a degree. It seems that many people now are going to get the degree and then hope to get a job. But that's where the unemployment is highest.
Right, because we're seeing that narrative, right? We're seeing vocational education being pushed more as a way to help solve the job issue that we have, unemployment in the youth, unemployment, graduate unemployment. College may not be everyone's route, and I think that's something that you're pointing out here.
Correct.
What are you doing about that? How are you supporting vocational and TVET education?
Okay. So we have several programs. We start programs for school leavers where we get in people as apprentice. We entice them with having to achieve to come in to work with us. At the same time, they can get proper qualifications. And with that qualification, they can get more income. So going towards a higher income rather than stay as a basic, you know, school leavers, that sort of a general worker, for example. We're working towards that as a manufacturing assistant, where they not only help us to manage the production, but they also maintain the machines. They also look at various things that's needed to maintain the quality of the products. That's one. Then secondly, there's also our company involvement with the Malaysian Meister program. We have up to date we have 3 batches of people that already we have employed under this Malaysian Meister program, and this Meister program runs for 24 months. And our first batch graduated last year, October. Our second batch is graduating this year, and we have one more batch graduating next year. And this year now, we are going forward to get a third batch.
So you're making strides in making sure that you have a supply of talent going forward, because you're saying that is the biggest challenge for you to maintain.
Yes.
Does foreign labor not play into this theme here?
Well, we... As to remain competitive, we have to strive for higher. We have to higher productivity, and we have to not just maintain quality, but to improve on our quality, and that can mainly be done with a lot of emphasis on trained people. And this cannot be achieved with foreign workers, because foreign workers, they come here, they can't be here long. We need that kind of people that can stay with us, like. We have been in the manufacturing for 30 years. We have some people who are working for us for 20 years. They have not a knowledge gained through that time. Now we need to continue to put in fresh blood so that we can carry on for another 10, 20 years. And that cannot be done with foreign workers. Right? And the thing, just like I said, that we did have so many batches of people. Unfortunately, we're getting less and less in every batch. The first batch, we targeted 20 people, but we got 16. And the second batch, we targeted 20 again, but we got 9. And recently, last year, we got 13. We still haven't got to reach the number of people that we want.
So even getting 20 people a year has been tough
for
you.
Yeah, for one company like us, getting is not easy. So many of our colleagues in the same industry are facing the same issues. Getting the right talent.
Right, because this is a very long-term decision for you to retain talent. And correct me if I'm wrong, but all your manufacturing facilities are in the country?
Yes, our facilities are all in Klang, Selangor, over covering 21 acres land and factory building.
Okay, and you know, when we talk about manufacturing, right, one of the other big themes that always comes about is automation. Now, you want to increase your talent pool, but at the same time, manufacturers are pushing automation. Are these two in conflict with each other?
Not exactly. In our industry, in what we do, because we do many parts, we are not doing one singular part. So we can't automate the one line to do all these parts. But we have what we call flexible manufacturing. And we need the kind of machines when we automate where we can to maximize the use of the automation, so-called. And in that way, then only then we can be competitive and stay relevant. We are not like China. China can produce one part they can sell to so many millions of people, right? But Malaysia, how many million do we have? Only 30 million compared to the 1.3 billion in China. So it's a different market altogether.
Right. I want to bring it back home to the bottom line right now. So if you take a look at NHF's stock price over the last 5 years, you hit a peak of, in 2017, I think, it was about 4 ringgit and 43 cent. But today, the stock price is floating around 2 ringgit and 70 cent. So should investors be concerned about this? What is NHF doing about this?
Well, I think the fact is that you must see the where we are, where we are going. As we are very focused on growth, and we are very focused on the area of growth like ASEAN, I think there is a big potential for us to grow further. And finally, whatever our efforts put into growing the company will reap us the kind of returns that we want for our investors. That is the profit that we can get. And the shorter time, of course, what happened in the last 2 years was when we faced with pressure of the, you know, certain rise in the commodity prices, and which we can't do anything about. It has affected all the manufacturers, not just us. And also the rising cost of manufacturing that we face because of the rising labor costs, rising material prices, and overheads as well, like utilities like electricity, all has gone up. So this has all impacted us. But I like to say that the fact is that we do have we are very happy to say is that we still see a big opportunity for us to grow further, and in that means that we will be able to achieve that kind of income or profits that we want to show it to our investors in due course.
Do you have a timeline for the growth on your bottom line, or is that still a bit ambiguous?
We are managing it. Right, because there's a lot of other things that came into play, like recent years. In the last year, just last year alone, there's all because of what the fluctuation of currencies in many of our customers facing. So we actually had to maintain a certain to maintain the business. We have to go to where they to meet. To meet the customer's needs, so to say. That's why we decided that we want the business first, and we will work on that. As the business maintain and sustain, we will be able to get that kind of bottom line that we feel that we should be getting.
One of the main reasons you're citing for this falling profit margin is the cost factor. So are you stuck between a rock and a hard place in the sense that you can't raise prices to manage that?
No, we not that we cannot raise it, but we are managing the markets because the customers are also facing issue because many of the countries, not just Malaysia, face depreciation of currency. Like for example, Indonesia, one time the currency also depreciated a lot. So to allow the market to continue to grow, we need to allow the market to take time to grow up in that sense.
I've been speaking to Chin Jit-sen, the Managing Director of New Hong Fat Group. Thank you for your time, Chin.
Thank you.
This was The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanasan for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.